British Sky Broadcasting presents King Ralph, starring John Goodman as Ralph, Peter O'Toole as Cedric, John Hurt as Lord Graves, Camille Koduri as Miranda, Richard Griffiths as Duncan Phipps, and Leslie Phillips as Gordon. Directed and written for the screen by David S. Ward. Voiced by Willow Nash on behalf of MCS Agency. Buckingham Palace, London, England. Once upon a time. It is pouring with rain, a typical British summer's day, and the balcony of the Grand Palace is filled with men and women in formal, brightly coloured clothes and hats. Suddenly, the sky clears and the sun comes out.
The rain appears to have stopped, Your Majesty. We shall be able to continue with the portrait.
So I should hope, Albert. First time we've had the whole family together here for 6 years.
Let's try and get one in. We're going to need both banks to fill that.
I've already strung the cable, sir.
As a photographer and his assistant prepare, the royal family descend the stone spiral staircase down onto the lawn. The ladies tread carefully in their high heels over the sodden grass, past puddles of rainwater. The camera assistant shakes out a plug and inserts it back into a box of sockets. The family arrange themselves on a grandstand around two plush red velvet and gold thrones. Several boxes of plugs and electrical equipment sit in a pool of water just under the stands. The family are nearly assembled.
All set up, sir.
Thank you. Right, we're ready now, everybody. Could you please remember to look straight into the lens and keep your eyes wide and bright? Now, after three, one, two, three.
There are several explosions from the electrical sockets. The ladies' hats fly off, the king's lapels spring up like hinges. In the finished photograph, their frazzled hair stands straight up off their heads and their eyes are wide with shock. Headlines in a tabloid newspaper read, "Shocker, royal family wiped out." Inside the Houses of Parliament, men in suits sit at desks.
I know at a time like this, it's difficult to apply oneself to any task, but a surviving heir to the throne must be found. The nation, the Commonwealth, and I dare say the known world await your findings. Good luck, gentlemen.
The men begin to pack up their papers. A funeral procession with several coffins makes its way down the street with much pomp and ceremony. A room filled with older gentlemen in suits diligently squirrel away at their desks, all individually lit with green desk lamps. Other men work on a family tree written up on a blackboard, systematically crossing out various names. A group of sullen-looking punks all stand around a television in a shop window, watching the funeral of the royal family. One punk girl begins to cry. A male punk next to her says,
"Since when do we give a toss about this kind of bullshit?"
"Shut up, dysentery. Where's your sense of national flipping pride?"
The man punk looks bemused. The men in the parliamentary offices cross out yet another name on the quickly diminishing royal family tree. A Union Jack draped coffin in the funeral parade passes by. A man, Sir Cedric, paces anxiously. The old men in the parliamentary office sigh and yawn as they disappear behind ever-growing towers of paper. One snores, asleep at his desk, his head resting on his arms. Another, peering intensely at the pages of a huge ledger, suddenly gesticulates that he has found something.
Excuse me, Sir Cedric.
Yes?
I do believe we've found an heir.
That's wonderful, Duncan. Who is it?
His name is Jones. Ralph Jones.
Ralph Jones. Is he everything we might have hoped?
Well, he has his strengths and his weaknesses. You see, he's an American.
Quickly, Duncan, the strengths.
A gaudy neon-lit Las Vegas strip of gambling establishments.
And here's one from the great Don Ho, the godfather of Hawaiian soul.
A man in a glittery blue tux sings and plays at a piano in a near-deserted cabaret-style club. He wears black and white cowboy boots. He glances at an American football match playing on a television beside him.
And he's in there.
Duncan, Sir Cedric's advisor, and another very stiff-looking Englishman sit watching the singer, their lips pursed and seeming out of place in this setting.
You shit me.
The singer comments at the game again. The two Englishmen give each other a look of surprise. They leap to their feet, clapping and smiling.
Thank you.
Backstage, the singer fights his way through a dancer's feather headdress. He lets himself into his room where he speaks to a monkey. A man waits for him.
Hey, Mitzi. Your show went a little better than mine. Hey, Ed, what are you doing down here?
I've had it with you, Jones. We're not paying you to watch television.
Excuse me.
Hello, my name is Duncan Phipps, and this is Inspector McGuire.
Great. What'd I do now? A couple checks bounced?
No, nothing. He's here for your protection.
Hey, Jones, get over here. I'm not finished talking to you.
Come on in. I'll sign a picture for you.
Thank you. Smashing show, by the way. Absolutely smashing.
Listen, Jones, we're not renewing you after this week.
What?
I'm putting Mitzi in your slot.
They all turn to look at the monkey.
You little backstabbing bitch.
Just turn in your tux, Jones.
What? So I wouldn't sing the Impossible Dream?
Vacate your room by noon tomorrow. We're going to put your stuff out in the street.
Shit, can you believe that?
It's beyond all comprehension, Your Majesty. But I have news that might bring you some cheer.
I doubt it.
It is my glorious duty to inform you that you are the new King of England.
Duncan and the security man bow to Jones, later outside a fast food van.
You see, the late King's uncle, the Duke of Warren, had a small dalliance with your grandmother, Constance, who I'm told was a waitress at the hotel where he was staying.
One gastro death dealer with onions, jalapenos, and Tabasco.
Thank you. At any rate, Constance had a son, your father. Now, since he and your grandmother are both dead, you are the only surviving royal heir in your line.
Look, Don, even if I believed you, which I don't, I haven't got time to be the King of England right now. I gotta get a job.
This is more than a job.
Maybe I should put a band together. Get back to playing rock and roll.
But you can't refuse the throne. It's a sacred trust.
Yeah? What does a sacred trust pay?
Well, you don't get a salary as such.
That's what I figured. I pay you, right?
You don't need money. Everything's taken care of. The king has his own castle. 5 castles, as a matter of fact. A fleet of cars, a yacht, a full staff of servants. Good God, the future of a nation's at stake.
You're good, Dunk. Real good.
Do you remember your grandmother at all?
Connie? Yeah.
Do you remember a ring she used to wear?
Sure, she used to brag about it all the time. She said she got it from some prince or something.
There's only one other like it, the Duke of Warren's. Was this the ring?
Duncan opens a ring box, balancing it on a sauce bottle.
Holy shit.
Jones rides in a black stretch limo, standing up through the sunroof.
Yes! Yes!
He drums on the roof and whoops. An aeroplane travels down a runway at night and lifts off.
How long do you think you'll be needing me? I've never held a job for more than 6 months.
Well, you see, a king is a king for life.
No problem. My schedule's pretty open.
The British Airways aeroplane touches down in daylight. Tower Bridge stands majestically spanning the River Thames. A black Bentley with the royal flag fluttering from its roof travels over the bridge surrounded by police escort. Bright green foliage surrounds the Tower of London. The gold of the Houses of Parliament and Big Ben glitter in the sunshine, dominating the London city skyline. The Bentley travels down a street lined with people leaning against barriers towards Buckingham Palace.
There it is, Your Majesty. Your new home.
Which room is mine?
All of them.
Duncan enters Sir Cedric's room, placing his bowler hat and umbrella down on a bookcase.
Excuse me, Sir Cedric. His Majesty is here.
Very good.
Sir Cedric comes out to stand in front of his desk. He and Duncan smarten themselves, preparing for Ralph Jones's arrival.
Allow me to introduce our sovereign lord, Ralph Jones, King of Great Britain, Northern Ireland, and all her other realms and territories, head of the Commonwealth, defender of the faith.
Ralph swaggers in. He wears aviator sunglasses, a blue baseball cap, blue jeans, a heavy metal T-shirt under an orange shirt, and a silky green bomber jacket.
How you doing?
Sir Cedric stares speechless as Ralph approaches him. Cedric bows. Ralph bows.
How do, Your Majesty? I'm Cedric Willingham.
Glad to meet you, Sid.
Ralph self-consciously removes his cap and then his glasses, putting them in his shirt top pocket.
Have you ever been to England before?
No. But I have almost all the Rolling Stones albums.
Oh, well, then you're practically a native.
Dunk says you've been here 25 years. You must be a hell of a typist by now.
Actually, I'm not that type of secretary. You see, my duty is to instruct you in the arts of sovereignty, to make you a king.
Look, my duties are mostly for show, right? I mean, I hope you're not counting on me to solve any large national problems, because I don't have a lot of experience with that kind of thing.
English law prohibits monarchs from solving problems, unfortunately. It doesn't prohibit you from creating them.
Good. That's a load off my mind. So, where do we start?
Everywhere.
A beautifully painted fresco in a gold oval frame decorates the ceiling of a galleried hall. Cedric and Ralph pass along the gallery above a door guarded by two footmen.
You might be thinking what name you'd like to use as king. Edward and George have been popular this century.
What's wrong with Ralph?
Lacks a certain majesty. I can't really think of any notable Ralphs.
Well, sure. Ralph Macchio. Ralph Lauren. Ralph Cramden.
They enter another extremely grand room, wallpapered in a rich red, covered in gilt-framed paintings and lit with chandeliers.
This is extremely nice. Better than I'm used to.
This is the picture gallery. Many of the people in these paintings are your relatives. That's the Duke of Warren, your unfortunate grandfather. You have his chin. That's George III. You may remember him. He was king during that little temper tantrum you call the Revolutionary War.
Sounds like sour grapes to me, Sid. After all, we did kick your ass.
The loss is entirely yours, or rather theirs. Try to remember that you're an Englishman now.
Okay, but I still think they kicked our ass.
Ralph sits in a chair having his hair cut and a manicure and pedicure. He looks at himself in a handheld mirror in amazement. Later, he stands in his Hawaiian shirt being measured by tailors.
Just a few quick questions to probe your knowledge of English history.
Fine.
When she failed to give him a son, Henry VIII had Anne Boleyn.
Look into adoption?
Beheaded.
Jeez, this is a tough country.
Would this be to your liking, Your Majesty?
You know, I kind of like that.
That's an upholstery fabric, Your Majesty.
The English people don't generally like their monarch to look like a sofa. These are a few of our traditional English dishes, some of which you will be served tonight. Here we have roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, bangers and mash, and the ever-popular Spotted Dick.
Spotted Dick?
Ralph is appalled at the sausages poking up suggestively.
Dick of what?
These are the bangers. Sausages. The Spotted Dick is a dessert.
Could I just have some ice cream?
Quite an eventful first day, Your Majesty. I'll leave you to rest now. This is Your Majesty's bedroom.
A man opens double doors for Ralph. He hands him a dollar.
There you go, Chief.
Ralph smiles, pleased with himself. The man looks bemused. The room is palatial. A huge chandelier hangs in the centre over a plush red rug. Gold-coloured drapes adorn windows.
Unfortunately, you do have the option to redecorate your private quarters as you see fit.
Good, I got a few ideas.
We'll put the velour industry on full standby. Through those doors is your dining room. And across the way, the bath. So here's your study, and there is your dressing room. Anything we've left out?
I don't know. How about a bowling alley?
One other thing. At your coronation 4 months hence, you will be required to wear the imperial state crown. It's usually kept in the Tower of London, but we took the liberty of placing it near your bed as a reminder of the eminence of your office. It contains the Star of India, the second largest diamond in the world. You should practice wearing it to get used to the weight. Good evening, Your Majesty.
Thanks. Hey, Sid.
Yes?
What exactly is it that a king does all day?
Scarcely a minute of your day is unaccounted for. Nevertheless, what you do is not as important as what you are.
What am I?
To be the King of England is a responsibility like no other on earth. You must become a symbol of all that is best about England. an embodiment of our history, our culture, our morality, our pride of achievement. In short, our ideal of civilization. You must, in the harsh light of public scrutiny, exhibit all of our virtues and none of our shortcomings.
Wait a minute. I thought all I was supposed to do was get dressed up and wave. I don't even know what our virtues are.
You will learn soon enough. I'm afraid it's a god's burden to bear. Unfortunately, it must be borne by a man. Good evening, Your Majesty.
Cedric leaves the dumbfounded-looking Ralph, snatching the dollar out of the hands of the man on his way. The next day is sunny, and Ralph takes instruction from Cedric in the grounds of the palace.
It's not enough simply to be the king. You must look and act like one. We'll begin with the walk. Imagine yourself to be the master of your domain. The leader of men. Don't swing your arms. Back straight. Head up. But relaxed.
How am I doing?
Right?
The robot-like Ralph steps straight into a pond. A policeman stands outside 10 Downing Street, inside.
It's an unmitigated catastrophe, Prime Minister. This song and dance man from the colonies. It's the end of everything that we hold dear.
And please try to keep in mind that Jones will need a certain period of adjustment.
He's American. He's impervious to adjustment. Better that Parliament declare his line at an end than subject England to this embarrassment.
Are you suggesting that we have no king at all?
Certainly not. Simply choose a king from the House of Stuart who reigned in glory before the Wyndhams. Make theirs a royal line again.
That would be your line, would it not, Lord Grey's, making you next in line for the throne?
Yes, I believe it would.
Removing Jones would be a drastic measure for Parliament to take at this juncture. After all, he does have royal blood, no matter how badly diluted.
So until he commits some grievous error,
we will simply have to live with him.
Well, yes. I suppose so.
Ralph in a huge marble bubble bath.
Well, Jones, you really fell upstairs this time. Too bad it's only going to last the rest of your life.
He rings on a little tortoise-shaped bell and a servant appears.
You called, Your Majesty.
Which one are you again?
Gordon, Your Majesty's page.
Yeah, Gordon, I was just wondering if you could bring me something. Anything.
Anything, Your Majesty?
I've never had anybody bring me something before. I just wanted to try it out.
Certainly. Perhaps an assortment of fine chocolates.
Got any milk duds?
A colourful array of biscuits, chocolates and sweets in glass bowls adorn the edge of the bath. Ralph throws a chocolate in the air to catch in his mouth. He misses and the crown falls in the bath. He lifts it out of the bubbles, guiltily looking around. Later, Duncan rushes up to Cedric as he arrives at the palace.
Sir Cedric! The king's gone! He just walked out!
Why didn't anyone stop him?
We tried, sir, but he is the king.
Fortunately, Maguire's with him.
We've got to find him before the press does. Think, man! You've just been made king of England. Where's the first place you would go?
A stripper wearing a G-string sits legs akimbo on a stage in a club in front of Ralph. He catches her bra as she flings it into his lap and saunters off stage.
Our headliner, Miss Fanny Oakley. Thank you, Fanny. And now, a young lady making her professional debut straight from Las Vegas, Nevada. Miss Flamingo Mirage!
Ralph looks alert and watches as a stripper wearing a tall pink headdress with feathers draping in a long tail to the floor behind her enters the stage. She looks nervous. Ralph sits with an astonished expression on his face. She begins to dance. Ralph smiles. A suited man speaks on a telephone.
Yes, sir. Brewer Street, Soho. I will, sir.
The stripper has removed her skirt and begins to unhook her bra. She faces the back of the stage. She has a small, unidentifiable tattoo on her back. She turns around, her hands covering her breasts. She looks afraid and stops dancing. A man gives her a look of encouragement.
I'm sorry. I can't do this.
Moving along now. Let's welcome, that saucy southern belle!
Flamingo's dressing room.
Hey there, Flamingo.
Hi. Really unique show, striptease without the nudity.
My name's Miranda, and the show was terrible. Who are you?
Ralph Jones. You know, you don't really have a Vegas accent.
I wouldn't know. I've never been there. Oh, how embarrassing. Why did I ever think I could do this?
Well, you know, you just got to remember to take a little crossover step before you go into your spin back, or you never make it all the way around for the hip reveal. A lot of girls have trouble with it the first night.
This is my only night. They already sacked me. Know anybody who'd want to buy a tearaway dress?
How about one of the maids?
Your Majesty, I feel we should stay with the present uniform, sir.
Pepsi, you old hound. I didn't know you went for this sort of thing. Come on in. I want you to meet Miranda.
You guys work here?
Well, no.
Then what are you doing backstage?
Well, it's okay. I'm the new king here.
The king of what? Burlesque?
No. England.
I don't think that's a proper thing to joke about right now.
I'm not joking. They just hired me yesterday. I could probably get you your job back.
I don't think that's the
I don't want my job back. I just want to get dressed. Will you excuse me, please?
This will only take a minute. Look, I'm new in town. I don't know too many people. So I was thinking we'd get together tomorrow night, maybe have a drink, discuss the mood of the country.
Alan?
Who's Alan?
The bouncer.
Phipps. It's ridiculous. Nobody believes me. Maybe we should get some cards printed up or something.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Alan!
Look, I'll make you a deal. If I can prove to you by tomorrow night that I'm the king of England, you've got to go out with me at least once, okay?
What are you guys doing in here?
Hold on, I'm not done.
These friends of yours?
No.
Don't you be touching them now, lad.
Ralph's security man gets the bouncer onto the floor.
Have we got a deal?
Yes, all right, fine.
Coming here is the best thing I've done so far.
He shakes her hand and leaves. She stares after him, wide-eyed. His entourage follow him outside. Ralph meets Cedric by a car.
Hiya, Sid.
I'd hardly remind you that this is not the preferred entertainment of royalty.
Sorry, Sid.
Ralph climbs into the car. The newspaper headlines read, From Uncle Sam to Buck Ham. The next day, Cedric teaches Ralph his cricket swing.
That's it, Your Majesty. Grip the bat, swing it vertically, not horizontally. Now, unlike baseball, when the ball comes to you on the fly, cricket usually hits the ground. Now, the bowler is trying to hit your stump. If he does, you are out. So the better shot to learn initially is the forward defensive shot. Bella.
Cedric demonstrates.
At first, Your Majesty, just try to block it.
Ralph swings the bat awkwardly around, hitting the soles of his shoes. He spits. Cedric looks repulsed. The other cricketers smile. Ralph limbers up, taking a baseball stance.
Bowler?
Pitch a shoe up, bowler. Nice and slow.
The bowler bowls and Ralph whacks the ball high into the air. Cedric looks on, happily surprised. It smashes through a window into a heavily guarded room of treasures. The police whip out their guns in readiness. Ralph runs around the cricket pitch as if it's a baseball pitch. All the players stand still, watching him. A Rolls-Royce pulls up outside a modest terrace where Miranda, the stripper, is trying to fix a leaking pipe. The TV is on in the background. She stops to listen.
...that a new sovereign has been found. Doubts remain as to whether the American-born king is cut from the proper cloth.
She opens the door to Lord Graves.
Miranda Green.
Yes?
I'm Lord Percival Graves. Do you have a moment?
Well, I'm
it
not...
It is a matter of some urgency.
Do come in.
I understand you've met our new king.
Yeah. Looks like I did.
And you made quite an impression on him.
Who said that?
Have you seen today's bugle? 72% of the people see the ascendancy to the throne of England by an American commoner as a serious threat to the status of the monarchy.
I'm sorry, what's this got to do with me?
You are in a unique position to be of service to your country. I'm sure that you are aware that members of the royal family are expected to maintain certain standards, particularly with regard to the company they keep. Now, If the King of England were to become involved with someone like you...
Someone like me?
Then the pressure on him to abdicate would be considerable.
You're asking me to sleep with him?
Oh, no, nothing like that. I simply want you to spend time with him. To befriend him, nurture his burgeoning affection until such time as a simple photograph can be taken. A little snapshot of you together in public.
Forget it.
He is making a mockery of centuries of tradition. We are on the brink of a national crisis.
I think we'll survive. What's in this for you?
I'm prepared to make it well worth your while.
Thanks, but I don't need the money.
What about your family?
What about them?
Your father and brother have been out of work for almost a year, haven't they? Such a tragedy, the demise of the steel industry. My inquiries tell me that their savings have completely dried up. Debts are mounting steadily. It's only a matter of time before the heist is repossessed.
Get out.
I don't think you understand quite how much I'm offering. Close the door. £15,000 to start. And if you're successful enough to ensure that you never have to worry about money for the rest of your life. You or your family. Now, surely, you're not prepared to sacrifice their future for the sake of an American usurper that you don't even know? I think not.
Lord Graves leaves the house. Miranda looks lost in thought. At the palace, Ralph serves Cedric tea.
Tea?
Ralph gets the milk jug caught on the teapot as he pours.
Milk?
He finally releases it, burning himself on the teapot clutched under his arm.
Sugar? One lump or two.
The sugar pings out of the tongs. Ah.
Two for me. A little bonus there.
He ends up plopping them in from the bowl using his fingers. After banging the cup with his spoon, he slurps the tea down in one and gets his finger caught in the handle.
So, Willing, what's on the agenda today?
Just one small word of advice, Your Majesty. When you meet the Prime Minister, it would be best to say, how do you do, rather than how you doing?
No problem. How do you do? Oh, excuse me. I didn't get much sleep last night. Still on Vegas time. Plus, I haven't had a day job for 4 years. I'm more of a night owl, but what the hell, as long as we're all up.
Ralph slouches across the lawn, his hands in his pockets, with Cedric to where the PM is sitting drinking tea.
Your Majesty, may I present the Prime Minister, Geoffrey Hale.
How do you do, Geoff?
It's a very great pleasure to meet Your Majesty.
Think nothing of it. You call me Ralph.
No, I'm afraid I can't.
Shall we sit?
I don't want to keep you too long, Your Majesty, but there is a matter of some pressing national interest.
Fire away, Geoff. That's why I'm here.
As you may know, there's considerable unrest in the countries of Africa, resulting in the emergence of several new states.
Ah. Well, the first thing we're going to have to do is buy all new globes. Beyond that, I don't think we should rush into anything here. There's no problem that can't be ignored if we really put our minds to it.
Yes. Well, of these new states, Zambezi is the most important, owing to its recently discovered mineral wealth.
That's pretty much my feeling on it.
So we've decided to invite King Malumbon of Zambezi to visit England on the 23rd of this month.
I didn't know Zambezi even had a king.
Well, they didn't until recently. You see, Malumbon is very anxious to legitimize himself by rubbing elbows with the royal houses of Europe. So, Your Majesty, we would be grateful if you would host a reception for him.
Ralph's mouth is open, his head tipped back as he slumbers.
You'll have to excuse him, Prime Minister. He is more of a night owl.
Extraordinary fellow. Could I have a word, Willingham? He simply won't do. He's common, ignorant, and extremely ill-mannered. The man's an orangutan. God help us with the King of Zambezi.
Later, Ralph changes into a loud shirt and tie.
She's my baby.
Your Majesty!
Yes?
Did you have a nice nap?
Guess the old jet lag finally caught up with me. I'm ready to go now, though.
Good. There's much we have to cover. The new uniforms are ready, and I brought some books for you to read. One on English history, one on the lives of the monarchs, and a primer on etiquette. What's this?
Date night. Where does the king go to eat in this town? I'm kind of in the mood for sushi.
I'm afraid that's out of the question. We haven't had time to arrange the proper security.
What, Japanese are dangerous here?
Your Majesty, there are elements at large in the world who might seek to do the King of England harm for their own personal ends.
What kind of harm?
Well, kidnapping you for ransom. In some cases, even...
Even what? Killing me? You know, Sud, I can't take too many more of these little surprises. Where was this kind of talk when Phipps was going on about the castles and the boats?
We didn't want to alarm you needlessly. After all, there's nothing to fear once the proper precautions have been taken. But you must learn to accept some limitations on your personal freedom and on your wardrobe. So far, there are no royal duars planned.
There's still got to be a way I can get this date in. I'm serious about this, Sud. After all, I am the king, right?
Very well. Your Madge.
An official-looking car pulls up at the palace gates. Miranda is inside in a cleavage-revealing top.
Welcome. The king's special permission, Eric.
On through.
The car pulls through the gates. Inside, Ralph looks uncomfortable as he pulls at his uniform and paces his apartment. Miranda is shown into the room.
Miss Green, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. And please, call me Ralph.
Oh, I'm sorry, I could never do that.
Yeah, God knows what could happen.
Ralph glances around the room at the five uniformed guards.
Well, I guess just the seven of us.
That was a lovely dinner. I can't believe I'm eating in the throne room.
Yeah, well, Willingham wanted it to be intimate. I asked Gordon to get us some music, something we can dance to. Oh, here's dessert. Would you care for some spotted...
Dick?
In front of a roaring fire.
London to study design. I only tried exotic dancing because I needed some extra money. I went to night school for a bit, but when my dad lost his job, I started sending money home. There wasn't enough left to live on and go to school. Now I don't know if I'll ever get back to it.
Sure you will. Something will break for you. I've never done anything my whole life. Look where I am. There.
What's this?
What's what?
There's no such word as yo.
Are you crazy? I use it all the time. And you don't have to look it up. We're using the King's English, right? If I say it, it's a word. By the way, the Y's on triple word score. I'm starting to catch up here. Narrowed the gap to 164 points.
Miranda ponders the Scrabble board whilst Ralph looks lovingly at her.
What?
I don't know. You're not the kind of girl I'm used to. You can spell, you wear clothes to work. You just have more class, I guess.
I'm just a sales girl from South London. Doesn't count for much class down here, but it's nice of you to say so.
Look, I know our deal was just for one day, but do you think we could extend it?
You don't really know me. There are things about me you might not like.
Like what? You're beautiful, you're smart, you're honest.
I should go.
Miranda and Ralph stand up.
Thank you for a lovely evening.
Thank you.
Ralph goes to kiss her. Gordon bursts into the room.
I'm sorry it took such a long time, Your Majesty, but I found you some music.
A string quartet shuffle into the room and bow.
I hope you're not becoming enamored of her. It would never work out.
Why not?
As king, you are expected to marry a woman of noble birth, particularly given your less than perfect breeding. And Miss Green, fetching as she may be, does not qualify. Your Majesty may remember, in 1936, King Edward fell in love with a commoner and had to abdicate his throne. The House of Wyndham can ill afford another such disaster.
I didn't say I was going to marry her, did I? I just want to take her out.
With all due respect, Your Majesty, it would be best for both of you if you did not see Miss Green at all. But if you insist, it's imperative that you only see her here at the palace.
Miranda and Ralph in a sports car.
I'll teach you a poem to help you remember the Order of the Kings, right? 1, 2, 3, Ed's Richard II, Henry 4, 5, 6, then who? Edward 4, 5, Richard the Bad, then Richard the Third. Then Henry's twice and Ed the Lad. Mary Lizzie, James the Vane, Charlie, Charlie, James again.
She's already seen him twice this week. We could tip off the press next time she goes. Have some photographers outside.
No, let's wait a bit longer. Give him enough time to become hopelessly infatuated with her. Oh!
Now this is what I call a room.
Ralph and Cedric enter Ralph's apartment, which now has numerous toys and instruments in it, including a miniature racing track, disco and drum kit that Duncan is playing on. He hurriedly stands up, embarrassed when he sees them, trying to compose himself.
Your Majesty, is the Sovereign King, Molambon of Zambezi.
Duncan, in costume, bows.
Welcome, Your Majesty. On behalf of the people of the United Kingdom...
And the Commonwealth.
And the Commonwealth, for which we... No. It's a great pleasure. It's a great pleasure to have you as our guest. We hope you had a pleasant trip.
Ralph barbecuing drops a burger. He distracts Miranda, hoping she didn't notice. Later, he is learning to ride a horse.
Keep those knees tight in. Sit back. Grip with the knees. Hands down. Heels down. Heels down.
Ralph comes off the horse but is attached to a harness strung from the ceiling of the indoor school. He swings around helplessly.
Blast.
Later, stiff from his riding lesson, he limps up the corridor to his room. The door opens and he is confronted by a newly installed bowling alley. He looks agog. It is night and a neon-lit Ferris wheel turns in the back garden of the palace. Ralph is asleep in one of the cars, his head resting on Miranda's shoulder. Gordon on the telephone.
Hello, news desk. I have something you might be interested in.
A huddle of photographers gather outside the palace gates. They swarm around a car as it leaves. In the back seat, Miranda covers her head. Later, Ralph watches a video of Duncan whilst receiving a massage.
When in public, a royal personage must refrain from chewing gum, using profanity, picking his nose, scratching his private parts, and staring down the bus lines of visiting female dignitaries.
What the hell? That's everything.
Good morning, Your Majesty.
Hey, sir.
I'm afraid I have some distressing news. Miss Green's presence here last night did not go unnoticed.
Cedric hands him a tabloid newspaper, later in the grounds.
I'm afraid, Your Majesty, for the sake of the monarchy, this gives you little choice but to end your friendship with Miss Green.
What? I can't do that. I don't even want to do that.
Well, don't worry, Your Majesty. We'll find you an exemplary consort, a woman of such distinction as to far exceed your standards.
I've always liked my standards down where they are. Welcome, Your Majesty, on behalf of the people of the United Kingdom. It's our pleasure to have you as our guest. Welcome, Your Majesty, on behalf of the people... Well, come on, Ralph, you got a good thing going here. Don't blow it now.
Don't worry, Your Majesty. You'll be fine.
An African man dressed in colourful royal robes, his wife and several attendants, one carrying a spear, enter the room.
Your Majesty, may I present His Royal Highness King Molambon of Zambezi.
Hey, Holmes, what's happening?
Give me a quintet, brother.
Ralph has his hand raised for a high five.
I do not comprehend, Your Majesty.
Ralph's face drops and he turns to Cedric, who gives him a look of encouragement to do the right thing. Ralph slowly lowers his hand and composes himself.
Welcome, Your Majesty. On behalf of the people of the United Kingdom...
Ralph struggles to remember his lines. A look of terror rests on his features. The African king waits patiently. Everyone waits with bated breath. Ralph's lips move soundlessly as he tries to remember.
You want to go get a beer?
Later, in a pub, Ralph and the king play darts and drink beer together.
I don't know. Do you feel that being the king of a major nation is tougher than you thought?
Yes, it is difficult sometimes, what with all the ceremonial duties and official obligations.
But I'm quite pleased with the economic progress my country has made. We are hoping to be the first in Africa to market an automobile.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I might be in the market myself soon. The Rolls just doesn't have much poop. This car going to have fuel injection?
Oh, yes, everything.
Five-speed transmission, rack and pinion steering.
Reclining buckets, rear spoiler?
No, but it'll get excellent gas mileage.
Gas mileage is fine, but keep in mind the first question any car buyer asks themselves is, will this get me laid?
Beautifully stated.
Ralph gets the bullseye.
Well, looks like that's all she wrote. Want to go again?
Yes.
On a disused piece of land, Ralph and the African king throw spears at huge targets.
What was that, a five?
No, I believe it is a three.
You sure it's not on the line?
Makes a little difference. I plan to claim victory with this throw.
Yeah, well, be careful not to footfault there. If he gets anything better than a seven here, we're screwed.
The king spits on his hand and grips the spear. With great concentration, he runs and throws the spear at the target. He hits the bullseye.
You're too tough for me. You know where I can get a set of those?
I'll send you one.
Listen, I've been meaning to ask you. Do they tell you who you can date over there?
Of course not. I am the king.
Damn, I knew I was getting hosed over here.
Cedric and Duncan in Cedric's office. Cedric paces the room.
Well, I think he did pretty well, considering. I mean, it could have been worse.
Yes, he could have exposed himself, I suppose.
Yes? The Prime Minister for you, sir.
Good afternoon, Prime Minister. Yes. Oh, really? Well, it's a strange world we live in, isn't it, sir? Yes, thank you. Goodbye. The Prime Minister just spoke to King Melambon. The King said he couldn't remember when he'd had so much fun.
They raise their arms in elation, preparing for a hug, but restrain themselves.
Sherry?
Please, yes.
King Ralph seems to have passed his first diplomatic test with high marks. The King's personal style, which had raised some eyebrows in official circles, is now being characterized as a breath of fresh air.
Congratulations, Your Majesty. We were a little nervous when we first decided to take a chance on you, but,
I really did all right then, huh?
Yes, Your Majesty, but one mustn't let it go to one's head. Today's breath of fresh air can quickly become tomorrow's ill wind.
Now that this Zambezi thing's over with, I figure I got a couple of weeks of vacation coming to me, right?
Hardly. If anything, we will have to increase your public appearances in light of your growing popularity, and the ball season will soon be upon us. You will need dance lessons. Waltz, foxtrot, even ate some real.
Come on, Sud, I haven't had a day off since I've been here. I can't go out, I eat alone, I live in a museum, I sleep in an auditorium.
You will get used to it.
I got no family to talk to, no sex life.
Good, less chance for scandal.
I don't see anybody that doesn't work for me. I'm getting palace fever here.
Are you trying to tell me in your uniquely American way that you are lonely?
Yeah.
Don't lose patience, Your Majesty. We are working on the problem. Good evening.
Ralph looks fed up. Later, he wears a kilt and is surrounded by six corgis. He throws a frisbee for them.
All right, I'm gonna give you guys one more chance. Fetch!
Sir Guy Cracknell, Knight of the British Empire.
The man bows and then kneels in front of Ralph. Ralph knights the man with a sword, catching him on the ear. The man and Ralph wince.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you all right?
I got him good. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
Ralph, wearing his crown, holds a bowling ball. He bowls it down the bowling alley in his apartment. The ball rolls off the alley and smashes an expensive-looking urn.
I gotta get out of here.
He sprays his mouth with breath freshener. He strides past his pool table. He flicks off the alarm by his window and raises the sash. Just as he swings his leg over the window frame, Gordon the butler enters with a tea tray. Ralph hangs from the window.
Your evening cocoa, Your Majesty.
You haven't seen this, Gordon.
Haven't seen what, Your Majesty?
I really need a night out, Gordon.
There are easier ways.
A group of mounted guardsmen trot through the palace gates. The last rider struggles to control his horse, switching direction at the last minute and going the opposite way to the group. The gathered photographers laugh at the rider but do not recognize him. Later, shrouded in the foggy darkness, Ralph dismounts and ties his horse to a tree.
Stay, boy. Stay.
Inside Miranda's home, she works on a clothing design pinned to a tailor's dummy.
Hello?
Congratulations, my dear. The
King has broken out of the palace and is at this very moment on his way to see you. When he calls, meet him wherever he chooses. There will be a photographer following you. Make sure that he gets what he needs. Good luck.
Ralph struts through London. Arriving at Piccadilly Circus, he looks in awe at the lights.
Oh, yeah.
In a phone box.
Hello, Miranda. It's me, Ralph.
Later, Miranda strides two steps at a time up the tube station stairs.
Boy, am I glad to see you. People have been looking at me funny.
Are you out here alone?
Yeah. Come on, there's something I've been wanting to do for a couple of weeks. Two double whoppers with fries and two giant cokes.
Two double whoppers, two fries, two giants.
You got any money? I haven't been paid yet.
Sure. You know, you look familiar. Aren't you? Yeah, aren't you? You're the new king?
What, are you crazy? What would I be doing in here? Can I have a burger, please? No, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. I ain't him. I can't. All right. One or two.
Your Majesty, here's a burger on the house.
The server throws him a burger. He catches and unwraps it, but it is knocked out of his hand. He is pulled to safety by Miranda.
I think I'm going to need a new burger.
Over here, Your Majesty.
Maybe just one quick one.
Could you move a little closer together?
That's lovely. Maybe put your arm around him and give him a little kiss.
Miranda squirts a sauce bottle in the photographer's face and over his camera.
What the hell did you do that for?
Come on, we got to get out of here.
Well, the fries aren't ready.
Forget it, there's going to be photographers all over the place.
How about some onion rings?
Your Majesty, I've got your burger.
They rush out and into a back alley.
You should get back to the palace now.
I don't want to get back to the palace. There's got to be some place we can go.
Well, maybe one.
Hope you're not too upset about this mystery woman thing.
Girls at work said it was probably some East End tart trying to get a picture in the papers.
They dance with each other in a gazebo entwined with pink roses.
I wish we could meet again. Somewhere else. In different circumstances.
Different circumstances? We got the park. We got the lake, we got the moon, we got the stars. What else do we need?
Yeah.
What? What is it, this commoner thing? Edward VIII and Ed Wallace brought? That was 50 years ago. This is the 90s. We got to be able to work something out. Anything's possible.
Not in England. Not for royalty.
Don't say that. I can't see myself making it here without you, Miranda.
Holding her gently by the chin, his eyes transfixed on hers, he slowly lowers his head to kiss her softly on the lips. She raises her hands to rest them on his chest. The photographer, with tomato sauce remains on his face, secretly photographs them from behind a bush. The mounted guards file through the palace gates. One rider, wearing trainers and barely controlling his horse, brings up the rear. Sparks fly off his hooves. Lord Graves examines the prints of Miranda and Ralph kissing.
Now this is exceptional. You realize, don't you, that you're looking at the fall of the House of Wyndham? Before long, the House of Stuart will be restored to its rightful place. And you, Gordon, will be private secretary to the king.
Thank you.
Excuse me, my lord. A Miss Miranda Green to see you.
Gordon slides out as Miranda marches into the room with purpose.
Lord Graves?
What an unexpected surprise.
Here's your money. All of it. I'm just glad that I got out now before any real damage was done.
She turns to go.
You can't bluff me. I know what you're after. You just want more money.
You're right. Then there'd be more to give back.
Come back here, you little strumpet! Oh, I rather enjoyed that.
A royal car with police escort arrives at a castle. Later, in a horse and carriage, Ralph, dressed in country tweed, struggles with a flat cap.
Welcome to Windsor Castle, Your Majesty. The Prime Minister will be here shortly. There's something he wishes to talk to you about. The peak goes to the front, Your Majesty.
Now that you've handled the Zambezi reception so famously, we feel that you're ready to help us with a matter of even greater national import. I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but Finland recently discovered large oil deposits in their area of the Baltic Sea. One of our companies is bidding for the contract to supply all the platforms and drilling equipment, a contract that could create thousands of jobs in the northeast. Unfortunately, we're getting some spirited competition from the Japanese.
I've heard there could be a problem here. What exactly are we hunting, Sud?
I believe it's pheasant, Your Majesty.
At present, the competition would seem to be what I believe you call a toss-up. However, we have one more ace to play. The King of Finland is due here in 2 weeks on a state visit.
Aha. Is this gun loaded,
yes,
sir?
Yes. You will, of course, in keeping with tradition, be hosting a royal banquet for him.
Banquet?
Yes, I'm afraid we won't be able to get by on pretzels and beer this time.
The king will be accompanied by his daughter, the Princess Anna, one of the most socially desirable women in the world.
Socially desirable? Does that mean she's ugly?
Oh, far from it. We're organizing a ball in her honor to follow the banquet so that you two can get to know each other better.
Oh, excuse me, Your Majesty. The beaters are approaching.
The beaters scare the pheasant out of the woods and towards the hunting party.
Here they come, Your Majesty. They're over.
Ralph shoots a dog in the paw.
Did I get one?
Fortunately, it's only a flesh wound.
Now, if everything proceeds as it should, this ball will be the first step toward the royal wedding of the century.
Wedding? You mean her and me?
Yes, you and her.
This is going too far, Sud. You can't tell me who to marry. Isn't being the King of England worth something?
Indeed it is. That's why you must marry, to protect your birthright.
What about love? What about matters of the heart?
Matters of the heart must be subordinated to the good of the monarchy or the loss of the Wyndham family. A queen must be found to perpetuate the line. Princess Anna is, I assure you, the best of the acceptable candidates. Look, I know this is difficult for you, but there are times when you must put aside your personal desires. A king's life is not always his own.
You're serious about this, aren't you, Sud?
Yes.
Well, I got news for you. My life is my own, and I can't take this shit anymore. I got everything in the world here and nothing I need. No friends, no freedom, no fun. At least back in the States, I can screw up my life as I saw fit. Well, you can take this job and shove it down somebody else's throat because I quit. I'm out of here.
Ralph storms out. Cedric rushes after him.
Just like that, you'd walk out on the English people.
I told you from the beginning I was the wrong guy for this.
You seem to be the wrong guy for everything, Ralph.
Ralph? Who are you calling Ralph? It's Your Majesty to you.
Not anymore. You quit, just as you quit the Bear Scouts.
Sub Scouts.
Little League, high school, band, three colleges, and an assortment of jobs too numerous to mention.
Yeah, and now you're asking me to quit on Miranda and any chance at a normal life.
Oh, no. That shirt is not yours.
I wasn't born to this royalty crap, Sud. You can't expect me to accept all these stupid restrictions.
But what are the thousands of workers who will benefit from this contract?
Maybe something else will come along.
Will it? Are you willing to bet their future on it? For a woman you've known only for a few weeks?
You're asking me to marry a woman I don't know at all.
I'm asking you to think of something larger than yourself. To accept a significant responsibility for once without beating retreat at the first sign of difficulty. The throne of England is not a job at the taco burger to be discarded when it conflicts with your bowling night.
This is hardly the first sign of difficulty. You've been destroying my fantasy for weeks.
It's up to you whether you embrace this situation as the challenge to your abilities that it is, or simply to chalk it up as another failure, a monument to your own passivity. I think it's time you made a stand somewhere for something. If not now, then when?
There's no guarantee I'll even be attracted to this princess.
Then we'll get her a G-string and some pasties, but you must not shrink from your duty. To refuse to receive her now would be disastrous for England. Your family, your government, and the people of England are counting on you. You owe it to them. And to yourself.
Ralph looks grave. He takes a deep breath.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Cedric closes his eyes in relief and sighs.
Thank you, Your Majesty. You won't regret it. I remain your humble servant.
Ralph is left alone, surrounded by opulence. Later, he ponders in front of the dancing flames of a fire before picking up a telephone. He puts the phone down.
Hello.
Hello, Ralph.
Miranda?
Something I have to tell you.
Yeah, I was just gonna call you.
I don't think we should see each other anymore.
What?
I mean, I really wish I could. You just have to trust me. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, they're putting the pressure on me over here, too.
Could never have worked out.
Sure, I understand. I guess we should just be glad for the time we had, that kind of thing.
We did have a good time, didn't we? Please don't think badly of me.
No. Just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Miranda.
Bye, Ralph.
They both stare at their phones as the line goes dead. Ralph looks defeated while the royal crown twinkles in its glass box.
Now, I have a little errand for you, Gordon.
Hello?
This is my invitation to the Finnish ball. Make sure that Miss Green gets one just like it.
Of course.
And write this on the back.
But,
Just do it.
A train bearing the British and Finnish flags draws into a station. The platform is draped in a red carpet. A royal band plays, and Duncan and Cedric and the PM wait just behind Ralph, who is in full military garb. A man in uniform steps off the train and salutes Ralph. Behind him comes his wife, and a little way behind her, a very beautiful, demure daughter with blonde hair and blue eyes. She looks up with a bashful expression, peering out from under the rim of her hat.
Welcome, Your Majesty. On behalf of the people of the United Kingdom, it's a great pleasure to have you as our guest.
Thank you, Your Majesty. We are honored by your invitation. May I present Queen Catherine?
Queen Catherine.
And Princess Anna.
Princess Anna, it's a pleasure to meet you.
The king and his wife, Catherine, exchange knowing looks.
Allow me to introduce the Prime Minister, Mr. Geoffrey Hale.
Your Majesty. Your Majesty. Your Royal Highness.
Ralph winks with approval at Cedric. Later, Miranda is working on some designs in her kitchen. She answers the door to a huge bouquet of flowers.
With His Majesty's compliments. He also instructed me to give you this.
Gordon the butler hands Miranda the invitation. She opens it. Turning it over, she reads, "Please come. I miss you. Ralph." Later at the palace.
I have no doubt that they will be the toast of the continent. Good evening, Your Majesty. Lord Percival Grays. I know that you will acquit yourself as famously with the Finnish royals as you have in your other endeavors. One word of advice, if I may. If things become too staid, too formal for you, don't hesitate to display that wonderful American flamboyance for which you are so justly celebrated. With your lustrous charm, I wouldn't be afraid to show them who you really are.
Thanks. I'll try to keep that in mind.
Majesty.
Violinists play on the balcony of a sumptuously decorated room. The long table below is set for some 30 people. The room is lined with uniformed footmen.
His Britannic Majesty, King Ralph I, and the Royal Majesties, King Gustav and Queen Catherine of Finland, and Her Royal Highness, Princess Anna.
They file into the room, the men in DJs, the women in gorgeous ball gowns. The guests bow and curtsy as they pass. Ralph and the King of Finland sit at the head of the table. Ralph catches the edge of his plate and tips it up as he sits down. He glances at Princess Anna, who stifles a smirk. The string quartet prepare to play a different tune as the starters are brought out on trays.
Mm-hmm.
the King of Finland, to Ralph.
I am told you are something of a sportsman. My particular passion is polo. No game like it for a gentleman.
I've heard that. If I ever get to be one, I'll take it up.
Do you ever do any fencing?
Just a little when I was a kid. A couple watches here and there.
The King of Finland smiles, but is clearly confused by the term fencing. The Prime Minister to Ralph.
The Princess is quite lovely, isn't she?
Yeah, she doesn't say much, but she is what they call in America a fox.
I'm glad you find her so. Best wishes in your fox hunting, Your Majesty.
Fox hunting? You like fox hunting?
Well, I don't get around much lately, but I used to go out almost every weekend, one club or another.
Really? That often? You must have collected several tails.
Well, I admit I slept with a few, but I'm not like that anymore. Nowadays, you can't be too careful. You never know who they've been with.
No, I suppose not.
Of course, once I had a steady girl, that put an end to it.
She didn't like fox hunting?
Well, of course not. Anna isn't into it, is she?
Oh, yes. She loves it. Most royals do.
Ralph looks horrified.
Gustav, let the king eat. His guests are waiting.
Right.
All down the extremely long table, faces turn to him, watchful and waiting. He looks down at his starter. He twiddles his cutlery in his hands and looks nervous.
Sorry, they don't feed the chickens enough over here.
He sticks his fork into the quail. Oh. It shoots across the table, sending several wine glasses flying and creating a domino effect all down the table. The guests leap up to avoid being splashed. The quartet stand up to peer over their balcony at the carnage. Lord Graves smiles to himself as Ralph shrivels under the accusatory gaze of his guests.
Excuse me.
Just spectacularly bad luck. It could have happened to almost anyone.
I tell you, I'd be much better off if they'd just let me do things my way. Every time I try to do something right, I screw up.
All is not lost, Your Majesty. If things go well between you and the princess at the ball, everything will be forgotten.
An enormous chandelier hangs from the ballroom ceiling. Ralph leads Queen Catherine between two rows of guests. King Gustav follows with his daughter, Princess Anna. The guests bow and curtsy as they pass.
Shall we dance?
Princess Anna hands her bag to someone and the king turns to his wife. Ralph and Anna begin waltzing with style and aplomb.
You dance great.
Oh, thank you. So do you.
Ralph widens his eyes with surprise. Other dancers begin to join them on the floor.
I'm sort of curious about what kind of things you like.
Oh, I don't know. Certainly the fine arts. The operas, the ballets, the symphony. And I love to travel.
Well, yeah, me too. You ever been to Hoover Dam?
No, I miss that one. We prefer Deauville.
Deauville?
France. Daddy played in the Gold Cup there this summer. Then, of course, we went to Ascot.
Oh, what country is that in?
England.
Ralph looks over her shoulder and raises his eyebrows in embarrassment, and then knits them with confusion. The dance comes to an end.
What do you say that we take a little breather?
Seems to be going very well, Willingham.
Yes.
We've been setting a torrid pace in there. I hope the rest of our life isn't as wild.
Yes, well, now that we've gotten to know each other, our representatives can get together in the morning to work out a schedule for our courtship. I have a few travel commitments that have to be worked around.
I've been meaning to talk to you about this. Don't you think we should develop some special feelings for each other first?
Which would be a charming bonus, but I hardly think it's necessary. We're royals. We marry for the position. If I wanted to marry for love, I would have married Gunayan back in Piniki.
But do you really want to marry me?
Well, I must admit you'll require a bit more work than I'd hoped. You are unsophisticated, ignorant, and totally lacking in social grace. But I console myself with the fact that you have nice buttocks.
Beg your pardon?
As you are dancing, I drown the memory of your behavior at dinner with a vision of you bending me over the queen and desk in the white drawing room.
Wouldn't that be a little uncomfortable with all those pens sticking up?
Yes. Or best of all, you could strap me to the throne with strings of pearls.
I don't know, the servants might see us.
I would hope so.
Ah, there you two are. Come, Anna. You haven't danced with your father.
Coming, father.
Anna winks at Ralph as she leaves arm in arm with her father towards the dance floor. Ralph turns around, his mouth wide with shock.
How's it going, Your Majesty?
Great. We have nothing in common, and she's got a voice like a tuba. If she had her way, we'd have sex on a bed of nails on national television. But at least the party stinks. I don't know, I gotta do something to liven things up. Time for some of that American flamboyance.
Ralph leaves the worried Cedric to go and talk to the band leader.
Your Majesty,
I got a little number I'd like to do for the guests. You guys got a piano?
No, but we've got a harpsichord over there.
Good enough. Now let's go over the changes.
Miranda suddenly appears at the doorway to the ballroom, dressed in a black and white sequin dress with a kick slit at the front and shredded cap sleeves and long black gloves. She hands her invitation to a man and wanders nervously in, searching the room with her eyes. She passes Lord Graves, who smiles slyly to himself. Meanwhile, Ralph wheels the harpsichord into the centre of the room.
You guys ready?
We'll do the best we can, Your Majesty.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you all to the ball again. Is everybody having a good time? Well, as you may have read, I love music. And since this is the biggest audience I've ever had, I'd like to play something for you tonight. Maybe pick up the tempo a little, get things rolling. This is a sweet little Richard Penniman tune.
Ralph replaces the mic and goes to the harpsichord. He elaborately flaps out his tailcoat as he sits down and prepares to play.
A little rusty.
He takes his coat off.
There you go. Help me out here. Thanks. Coat was cramping my style.
Good golly, Miss Molly, you sure like the ball. Yeah, good golly, Miss Molly, you sure like the ball. When you're rocking and rolling, you can't hear my call. Well, from the early, early morning to the early, early night, you can't hear Miss Molly coming and she's running for a life. Good golly, Miss Molly, yeah, you sure like the ball. When you're rocking and rolling,
Miranda starts jigging to the tune and smiling at the other guests, who appear horrified. Ralph has kicked away his chair and plays whilst dancing and turning around, keeping his fingers on the keys.
Well, to God and Miss Molly, you sure like the ball. Yeah, to God and Miss Molly, Molly, you sure like to throw a ball.
Leaves the harpsichord and offers his hand to Anna. She conceals her face behind her hand, embarrassed. He suddenly spots Miranda, and a broad grin rips across his face. He pulls her out onto the dance floor, and they begin to twist. The sax player stands and plays his solo enthusiastically.
Your Majesty, one of the guests asked me to give you this.
Gordon hands King Gustav the photos of Ralph and Miranda kissing. He and his wife and daughter turn to look at Ralph in shock. The band slumped down in the chairs, exhausted. The guests look bewildered. Only Duncan claps enthusiastically. The Finnish royalty tighten their lips with animosity.
Thanks, you've been a wonderful audience. Thanks a lot, guys. It's great to see you. What are you doing here?
What do you mean?
Who is this girl?
Miranda. Who are you?
I'm Princess Anna, the king's future bride.
Future bride? I see. Excuse me, I think I should be going.
No, wait, Miranda, I can explain this, sort of.
Come, Anna, we are going.
Wait a minute, I want to know who that girl was.
Never mind him, he is not worth it.
Please wait, King Gustav, I'm sure his majesty regrets.
Cedric looks witheringly at Ralph as he watches Miranda leave, a look of desperation on his face. A tabloid carries the picture of Ralph and Miranda kissing. The headline reads, King lays royal egg, ballroom antics backfire.
In the wake of last night's disastrous royal ball, the Finnish government has awarded its highly prized offshore equipment contract to a Japanese firm. King Ralph not only shocked his guests with his rock and roll gyrations, but further insulted King Gustav and Princess Anna of Finland by parading with his so-called mystery woman, a former stripper named Miranda Green. Business and political leaders have banded together to condemn.
Never in recent times has a monarch so shamed and embarrassed his country. Must we stand idly by and suffer the degradation of our most sacred traditions by this witless ivory tinkler from across the sea? I say no! I say it is time to reclaim our heritage. I say it is time to reclaim our national pride. I say it is time to reclaim our throne.
The peers in the House of Lords cheer Lord Graves. Later, Ralph talks to the painting of his grandfather.
Sorry, Grandpa. I had a chance to make a mark for our side of the family, and I screwed it up.
Maybe I should have myself beheaded.
Ralph hangs his head in shame. Meanwhile, Cedric sorts through the invitations to the ball and comes across Miranda's. Ralph walks disconsolate in the grounds, followed by a waddling swan. Ralph later on the phone.
Tommy, this is Ralph. I need a favor.
An East End street. Washing blows on the lines strung across the gardens. Kids play with balls in the street. People lean against garden walls, chatting and reading the newspaper. Ralph approaches in a sports car. He goes through a garden gate and up to an elderly lady hanging washing.
Miss Green?
Yes?
Hi, is Miranda here?
As I live and breathe. You're him, aren't you?
Just barely.
Miranda and Ralph wander through an allotment.
No, I probably shouldn't have come here, but I wanted to see you.
Ralph.
Parliament wants me to resign. Hale agrees.
You're not going to do it, are you?
I don't know. I've never really done anything of importance. I usually bail out long before that. But I am the king, even if I shouldn't be. And I don't want to be the last of the line. The one who embarrassed the whole country and had to crawl out the back door. King Ralph the Chicken-hearted. What do you think I should do?
I'm in no position to give advice.
I'm sorry about all the stuff in the papers. All the things they've been saying about you.
Ralph, something I have to tell you. After we first met at the club, Lord Graves came to see me.
Graves?
He offered me money to help my family. If I would see you and compromise you in some way.
You went for it? You let him bribe you?
To begin with.
I don't believe this. Ever since I've been here, I had people on my back saying, stay away from her. She's not good for you. She's the wrong class. And I ignored them. I kept telling myself, everything's going to work out fine once they know you like I do, once they find out what a great gal you were. And all along, you were setting me up. What did they give you for the night in the park? Must have been triple word score.
It wasn't like that. After that night, I gave Graves his money back. I told him I was out. I didn't know he already had photographs of us.
Yeah, right.
Why do you think I kept you away from the photographers? Why do you think I called and said I couldn't see you anymore? It would have been too dangerous.
Wish I could believe that.
I don't expect you to. Or to believe that I've missed you. I wish we could still see each other. I was stupid. I was offered an easy way out of my problems, and I took it. I didn't think about the consequences.
I don't know what the hell to think anymore. I've been in over my head ever since I've been here. The only thing I was ever sure of was you. You were England to me, Miranda.
Ralph strides away as Miranda, looking miserable, watches him go. Later, Ralph studies some papers at his desk. Gordon knocks on the door.
Come in.
You wanted to see me, Your Majesty?
Yes, Gordon, I'd like something.
Anything, Your Majesty?
No. Just an explanation.
Gordon looks uncomfortable as he stares at Miranda's invitation to the ball, supposedly from Ralph.
I'll see what I can find out, Your Majesty.
Cedric and Tommy enter.
Perhaps you can find out why the note is written in your handwriting.
I don't know anything about anything.
Don't worry. It'll all come back to you.
Hi.
Good day, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty.
Got a second?
Of course. It's been a rather disturbing day, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, but that's not why I wanted to see you. I was thinking of something you said to me once. Most things go in one ear and out the other, no offense, but this stuck with me somehow. You said you were nervous when you first decided on me or something like that.
Did I say that, Your Majesty?
Yes, you did. It's the word decide that got me thinking.
Did it, Your Majesty?
Yes, it did. Now I'm the king, right?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And as my assistant private secretary, you are sworn to give me whatever information I might need. Aren't you?
Yes, Your Majesty.
All right then, Phipps. Fess up.
Cedric walks with purpose through the assortment of instruments in Ralph's apartment.
You wanted to see me, Your Majesty?
Yes, I'd come on in. Have a seat. I've been talking to Dunk here about something he said to me a while back, and it sort of came out that maybe there was another guy in line for the throne besides me. Is that true, Sid?
I'm afraid it is, Your Majesty.
Was his claim as strong as mine?
Almost, yes. His great-grandfather had an unfortunate evening with a parlourmaid.
So he was English?
Yes.
Then why wasn't he chosen over me?
He begged to be let off. He insisted that he was undeserving of such an exalted position.
In other words, you just couldn't face it.
Yes, Your Majesty, I couldn't. I didn't feel worthy, and I have no children to continue the line. So I swore Phipps to silence and decided to stay on as your private secretary.
Why? So you'd pick up a few pointers just in case?
I was determined to help you do the job so well that just in case would never arise. It's easier to whisper advice from cover than to risk its merit at the point of attack. I am sorry, Your Majesty, both for my deception and my cowardice.
Duncan looks down at the floor with sadness. Ralph sets his jaw, a look of barely concealed anger and disgust aimed at Cedric.
I probably ought to be pissed, but what the hell? I had nothing else going. I didn't get shot or anything. Plus, you are a relative.
Thank you, Your Majesty, for your talk.
Phipps, call the Prime Minister and tell him I want to address Parliament tomorrow.
Parliament?
Parliament.
The Houses of Parliament stand out sharply. The Gothic turrets pierce the clear blue sky. The excited politicians gather. Lord Graves enters wearing a cloak and wig.
My lords, members of the House of Commons, His Majesty Ralph the First, by the grace of God, King of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, head of the Commonwealth, defender of the faith.
Lord Graves joins the others and they all stand for Ralph's entrance. Ralph approaches the lectern in a smart dark grey suit.
Please be seated. My lords and members of the House of Commons, I know it's unusual for a king to address Parliament, but I have some things to say, and I want to say them firsthand. As you all know, I've made some terrible mistakes lately. Mistakes which have shamed England and cost its workers some badly needed jobs. I have no excuse for my actions. I know I can't undo what's been done. I can only try to make up for it in some way. With that in mind, I placed a call last night to King Malambon of Zambezi. I'm happy to be able to announce that Zambezi will begin full production of Africa's first car by the end of the year, and in a deal worked out with Prime Minister Hale, all of the engines will be built right here in England. The plan calls for the opening of 3 new manufacturing and assembly plants in the Northeast. In addition, Zambezi wants to buy 200 million pounds worth of English heavy equipment to help in the mining of their vast national resources.
The male punk from earlier watches on television through the shop window.
As happy as I am about all this, it doesn't make up for my shortcomings as a king. I have done my best to learn the ways of royalty, to try to be the kind of king you could be proud of. But I'm afraid my best will never be good enough. Too often my personal instincts conflict with my royal obligations. For that reason, I have decided to give up my throne.
Lord Graves puffs up with interest. Miranda, watching from her parents' sofa, looks down in shame.
But before I go, there are some things I want to set straight. Ever since I became king, a certain member of this house has worked hard to discredit me, hoping that his family would return to the throne. The so-called scandalous photographs you've heard about were taken and delivered to the King of Finland by a man working for Lord Percival Graves.
This is an outrage! Vile piece of slander. I demand to know the source of these accusations.
We have the confession of a royal page, Gordon Halliwell, who worked with Lord Graves.
I know no such man.
And several checks made out to the photographer who took the pictures, signed by Lord Graves, whose fingerprints were also on the photographs.
So I saw them at the ball.
And Scotland Yard found the negatives in his house this morning.
Two officers from Scotland Yard approach Lord Graves.
By what right can you order my arrest?
By the Treason Act of 1702, forbidding interference with the proper succession of a monarch, enacted by... Charlie James again. William III.
Lord Graves is escorted out and jeered at both by the politicians and the punks watching the television through the shop window.
That's right, streamer. Wanker.
Miranda smiles with pride.
I didn't bring this out to try to defend my behavior, but when I embarrassed England, it was unintentional. Graves did it deliberately. Well, this is kind of where my notes run out. I guess I'll have to wing it from here. I just want to say that when I first came here, I hardly knew where England was. But over the last couple of months, something has changed. I'll always consider myself an American, but I've come to feel like I'm English, too. I now realize how important a king can be to his people if he's the right man. And I also know that I'm too set in my ways to ever be that man. As an Englishman, I want all of us to have the kind of king we deserve. For that reason, tomorrow, I'm turning over the throne to Cedric Charles Willingham. Who you'll be glad to know is also a Wyndham, and a better, more qualified man than any nation could hope for. And so, to him I pledge my allegiance. Long live Cedric I,
by the grace of God, King of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, head of the Commonwealth, defender of the faith. God save the king.
Cedric nods at Ralph.
God save the king!
They all rise. At Miranda's parents' house, she hugs her mum on the sofa. The female punk looks bemused at the male punk crying.
Well, I can't help it. I'm going to miss the gigs, all right?
Inside Buckingham Palace, Cedric now in full military dress.
And one last thing. There's been some discussion, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer has suggested for your approval a healthy annual income and a house in the country befitting your status.
I don't know, Sid. I think I should stay out of the royalty business.
You wouldn't have any official obligations. And I'm having this house equipped with its own recording studio.
Maybe I should give this a little more thought.
I think so. After me, you're still the only Wyndham left. And there's still the matter of your investiture.
Well, I guess that about does it. I know you'll do a hell of a job. You got the breeding, you got the know-how. You've practically been king already. You'll probably have to work on your dancing, though. And feel free, you know, to change the decor.
Just a dab here and there.
Anyway, I want to thank you for everything you did for me. I couldn't have made it without you. And you too, Dunk and Tommy.
It's I who should be thanking you. You showed me how to be a king.
Me? I was a lousy king.
On the contrary. You are a good and decent man. And you've acted honorably. I shall try to follow your example.
Thank you, Sid. Hey, don't forget the crown. You'll want to practice wearing it to get used to the weight. So long, Tommy.
Good luck, Your Majesty.
So long, Dunk.
Goodbye, Your Majesty.
So long, Your Majesty.
Cedric and Ralph bear hug. Ralph gives Cedric a very formal bow. He picks up a small suitcase and a portable tape player and leaves. Later, Ralph parks his Bentley outside a clothing boutique and enters. Miranda chats to two other shop assistants. Miranda walks sheepishly up to Ralph. He smiles lovingly at her.
Let's say we start over again.
Miranda grins, her eyes wide with surprise. Ralph scoops her up in his arms and they kiss. Later at Buckingham Palace, Ralph is knighted by Cedric.
Sir Ralph Jones.
I proclaim you Ralph Hampton Gainsworth Jones, 3rd Duke of Warren.
Ralph covers his ears in anticipation. Cedric, sword in hand, smiles before placing the sword perfectly on each shoulder. Ralph sings with a trio of girls in his recording studio. They are called Ralph and the Dukettes.
This world, nothing can stop the Duke of Earl. And you are my girl, and no one can hurt you. No, no, yes, I and when I hug you,
is my dancing girl. We'll walk through my dukedom and the paradise we wish in. Here's the
Miss Molly, I have to watch my promise up. Good golly, Miss Molly.